Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Rolling on into hour number two of the G-Bag Nation. Brian Broaddus, Zach Wolchuk, Lucius Alexander hanging out with you on this TD Tuesday. How glorious. Thank you for making us part of your day. As always, we love you. Hour from now, we'll get into a little football fix. We got the C-Note coming up on the other side. And, of course, Krusty's Corner at 340. But right now, let's welcome in our friends who is near and dear to our hearts, the great David Hellman, co-host of the Athletic Football Show. Dave, how the hell are you, man? It's been too long.
I'm wonderful, fellas. Good to be on. Happy holidays. What's up?
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Well, the Cowboys are eliminated, Dave. It's over. No playoffs this year. As we reflect back with two games left, what the hell went wrong?
I mean, I know the like 10-day stretch between Philly and Kansas City was fun, but like, I don't know, haven't we known the Cowboys were going to be eliminated since like the Broncos game probably? What the hell went wrong is you went into a season with a shaky at best defense, and that was before you traded away Micah Parsons, and then it took you 8 weeks to rectify that. And obviously, like, Quinnen Williams isn't going to do everything himself. The secondary has been a mess all year, and you were never going to get there with the offense being the only consistently functional part of your team. And I was about to say I applaud the Cowboys for trying, but I really don't, because they created this mess. And so yeah. I can't say it's terribly surprising.
Dave, Jerry Jones needs to look at himself in the mirror for the hire of Matt Eberflus. Would I be correct saying that?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So to me, this is one of those things where, you know, when it's not done the right way and all that, and you go back, there's things that Jerry Jones in the front office and those guys did. I give him a complete A-plus for the George Pickens trade. But do you think things will change with the front office when it comes to some of these coaching hires now, or being involved in coaching hires, or were they trying to do Brian Schottenheimer a favor by recommending Matt Eberflus?
You know what's funny, and like let's not talk out of both sides of our mouth, because and I mean, like, Brian Schottenheimer obviously had a hand in some of this as well, but like, it's funny that I think the OC hire was so, so good. I think Clayton Adams has yeah. been a phenomenal piece of the Cowboys' success. And the DC side of it has been so, so bad. And it's easy to point the blame at the front office for getting involved and meddling. I will say, like, on paper, you got a first-year head coach who specializes in play calling. It makes sense to hire a guy who has been around the block, who has called a ton of defenses, who has had successful defenses, who can kind of take that unit and have autonomy over it and just take that off the head coach's plate. Like, that's not a bad idea in a vacuum. Honestly, I'm up here in Chicago. Ben Johnson is benefiting from the same thing, where Dennis Allen is his defensive coordinator, and they've dealt with a ton of injuries. It hasn't always been good, but just kind of having that guy that you can lean on.
Yeah.
is not a bad thing. And I come down somewhere between, obviously it hasn't been good for Matt Eberflus, and I expect the Cowboys to make a change, but also you can go pull up 10,000 conversations that we had in July and August where we were like, okay, are you really going to roll into the season with Trayvon Diggs coming off of a major injury and not having much of an off season? You're like, we're counting on the returns of DeMarvian Overshown and Siobhan Revelle, who is a rookie. Like, we're counting on that to be meaningful pieces. Okay, we're going to trade away one of the most gravitational defenders in the NFL on the eve of the season and expect everything to be okay. And so, yeah, it's been rough for Matt Eberflus. I think the scheme leaves something to be desired. I think that's totally fair, but I think it's also fair to say the guy really didn't have a shot going into the season, and I think it's awfully convenient to paint him as the villain in this story with nobody else having a hand in it.
Dave, okay, let's take the Matt Eberflus side of things here. If in fact he does get relieved of his position, what is Matt Eberflus going to contribute his demise to? Put yourself in Matt. Put yourself in his shoes. What is he going to say? Didn't get it done for him.
Yeah, like if Matt Eberflus has this on in his office, he's probably pointing at exactly what I just said. I mean, your hands are tied from a personnel perspective before you even come into the season. I mean, the secondary was not up to snuff. We knew that before the preseason was even done.
Yeah.
And on top of that, you trade away your best shot to have a special pass rush. And look, we don't have to relitigate the Micah thing every single time we do this. What's done is done. But the bottom line is he's the type of player that can make a bad secondary look passable.
Okay, well then I appreciate you saying it that way. Does Matt Eberflus look at his situation and said, I was really inflexible with the talent that we did have? I didn't do a good enough job of using it, or I didn't put it in a position to have success. Should he take some blame in what's happening here?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you don't get to a point where opponents are scoring 34 points six times in a season without a little bit of culpability for everybody. Yeah, I think Matt Eberflus could could have been more adaptive. Obviously, I think this team was better suited to playing man, and we all saw what happened when we tried to, you know, put every square peg into a round hole, or I think it's the inverse, but you get my point.
Yeah.
Matt Eberflus came up under Rod Marinelli, and those guys are particular to the way that they like to do things. So yeah, I do think You can lay plenty at Matt Eberflus's feet for being stubborn, for not being adaptive enough, for not suiting things to the talent of or to the skill sets of his players. I think that's totally fair. But at the end of the day, I come down more on the side of like all but the very, very best coaches are beholden to the amount of talent that they have. And we can't sit here and lie and act like the talent was there on this Dallas defense from the beginning.
Are they making a mistake keeping Tyler Smith at left tackle?
You know, it's funny. So I'm outside of the Cowboys world a little bit. I mean, I still keep a close eye on things, but I'm not living it every day like y'all do. Uh-huh. And I'm trying to grapple with that as it's happening in real time. I'm trying to decide how I feel about that. The classic case of, you know, this guy's one of the best guards in football. Do you want to move him and have a slightly less good left tackle, or do you want the guy who can do the job at the premium position? I mean, look, the Cowboys have spent so many resources on the offensive line at this point, right? Like Booker, Tyler Smith, Tyler Guyton. You paid a boatload of money to Terrence Steele. We'll see what they do with that contract in the offseason. But at some point, you got to pay attention to the rest of your roster. I mean, you've got to spend draft picks and capital on this defense. You can't, you know, Brian, it feels like time is a flat circle, because back in the day when Travis Frederick and Zach Martin and Tyron Smith, when they were all in their prime, I remember we used to have the argument where it was like, okay, you can't use a first-round pick on every position on your offensive line. Like, no other team in the league does this, and there are plenty of great offensive lines that don't do that. So I guess my point would be you got to make it work without committing any more resources. And if that means, like, you know, off the top of my head, like, let's say if they want to move on from Terrence Steele this year and try Tyler Guyton at right tackle, if that means that Tyler Smith needs to be your left tackle because it's easier to find a guard, I'd probably be in favor of that, because at the end of the day, you kind of got to make it work with the guys that are there, don't you? Like, we don't have time to be ignoring cornerback and linebacker and edge rusher and all the other stuff the Cowboys need on that side of the ball. I think you got to find a way to make it work. So if that means Tyler Smith is a left tackle, I think I'm fine with that, I guess. And I'm kind of processing this in real time. But if that's the decision that they were to wind up making, I think I'd be fine with it.
David Hellman with us here in the G-Bag Nation. With George Pickens, and also now you're having a wide lens on the league, where are you on the Cowboys bringing him back next year to a long-term deal? And if they didn't, what would the market look like for George Pickens, in your opinion, around the league?
I mean, I think the market would be insane. If you look around the NFL right now, you know, we look at the opening of the league year as Christmas for NFL fans because all these crazy deals are getting done and all this money is getting spent. But over the last few years, the really A1 guys don't make it there anymore. Like, teams want to keep what they have. And even this year, you've seen a surprising number. It used to be that contracts didn't get done during the season, but even that's not proving to be true anymore. Like, when teams find out that they have a guy, they do everything they can to get him locked up. I mean, how much time and energy did we spend talking about T. Higgins last year only for him to get locked up by the Cincinnati Bengals? So I think the market would be insane. I think, you know, if George Pickens were to hit the market, I think his next salary would start with a three. Because guys like, I mean, he's going to be an all pro probably.
Yeah.
He's a pro bowler right now. He's probably going to be an all pro too. I think his next contract starts with a three. I think there would be plenty of teams that would be willing to back the truck up for him. And to go back to the Cowboys side of this, I think if you want to tag him and do that, whatever. It does. Like, I don't care how it gets done, but George Pickens has to be in place for 2026 for me to take the Cowboys seriously. I mean, Dak Prescott is 32 years old. I'm not saying he's about to retire, but we no longer have the luxury of time. Like, we are entering into what's going to be, I think, the last few years of Dak's prime, or at least the last few years that you can reasonably expect Dak to play at this level. And if we're just trading guys off willy-nilly every year, like, the minute you discover something, you're moving on and, you know, oh, let's trade Micah Parsons. Maybe we'll find a guy that's as good as Micah Parsons. Let's let George Pickens walk. Maybe our first round pick on receiver will be as good as George Pickens. Like, that's not how you make progress and build toward the ultimate goal. So I think it's got to happen. If they want to tag him, fine. But he needs to be a piece of this team if the Cowboys are supposed to improve on this very disappointing season.
Dave, do you think that by him marching to, you know, I mean, there's some whispers about some tardiness and things like that. Hell, if it was me, I'd start the meetings later till he got there is what I would do. If I was the receivers coach. But do you think there's things, do you think he's resuscitated his career in a way for, like, the off-the-field stuff? And I don't mean that in, like, you know, he's being abusive or anything like that, but the things that we might have heard a little bit about in Pittsburgh?
Man, here's my take on this. Where's the superstar receiver who's not a pain in the ass?
It's a diva position, right?
I look around the NFL. I mean, we just saw Puka Nacua had the week from hell heading into that Seattle game last week. DK Metcalf just got suspended. The guy, the Steelers moved on from George for DK Metcalf. DK Metcalf just got suspended for mixing it up with a fan, whether, you know, the fan clearly is a jerk, but still can't do that.
Right.
Jamar Chase got suspended this year for spitting on Jalen Ramsey. C.D. Lamb has come with plenty of his own issues. I mean, C.D. Lamb missed curfew along with George Pickens this year. He got benched on a Monday Night Football game. I mean, the list goes on and on.
You think teams are just, they're okay with that now? I mean, now, you're right. There's plenty of these names, but when you start to talk about $30 million investment, is it a one-year wonder? You know, is it like Tommy Two-Tone? Or are we talking about a long-term hit here?
I don't want to speak too confidently. Like, if there's some, like, nefarious stuff in a guy's history, that's one thing. And
right.
It's the Cowboys' job to be on top of that. And if there's more going on there that I don't know, then that's worth taking into consideration. But
right.
I haven't heard anything like that about George Pickens.
I was just wondering about that, other teams. I think the Cowboys know what they got, but I think they're willing to do it. But I just wonder if other teams are willing to stick their necks out there.
Maybe
for
they're
that.
Scared off.
Yeah.
I don't buy that. From what I've heard, again, I don't buy that it's out of the ordinary compared to all of these other guys.
Okay.
You're talking, players come into the league younger than ever. Like, all these guys have a lot of maturing to do, clearly. And like I just said, most of the best receivers in the league have given their teams a headache at one point or another this season. And if that's all it is, I think you deal with it. George Pickens is 24 years old, and we've seen the stuff that he can do. There aren't very many guys on the planet with go-go gadget arms like that who can just make your quarterback right. And I think he is so well suited to the way that Dak Prescott likes to play football. And I mean, if being kind of a knucklehead because he's 24 years old is the extent of it, I think you sign up for that every time.
Yeah.
How bummed are you and you think the league is looking at this Christmas Day schedule now?
Man, that's tough, dude. I mean, and you know what? I don't appreciate the league trying to take over Christmas. I like last year when they played the Wednesday games, I thought that was tacky, and I don't think it's necessary to force football onto Christmas Day. But it's Thursday this year. Christmas is on a normal football day, so I feel like they're well within their right to try to put some games on Christmas, and they just, you talk about a bad beat. Because all three of these games looked great in August, and it's just a whole bunch of nothing right now. I mean,
still
going to
watch, Dave. Don't act like you're not.
Oh, I'm going to watch, and I'm going to be happy about it. I'm a sicko, and it's my job. But like, but it ain't what it was supposed to be. I mean, think about even on Thanksgiving. I mean, Chiefs Cowboys delivered on all the hype, and Packers Lions was a fantastic game, and the Bengals and the Ravens aren't as good as they were supposed to be, but that was still a very interesting game because they were still alive at that point in time and they had stuff to play for. Joe Burrow played. But this is, I mean, you're talking about multiple third string quarterbacks playing. And Detroit has like a 5% chance to make the playoffs. Like Denver still has stuff to play for, but the Kansas City Chiefs sure as hell don't, as weird as that is to say. So, yeah, it's going to be kind of a gross watch, but you're right. I will be there.
Are you excited about maybe going to a playoff game at Soldier Field?
Yeah.
Oh man, I
want to see the
LSU.
I want to see the LSU toboggan. If you do it, by the way, like you got to wear when you're multiple LSU hats, the stocking hats, the toboggan for this thing.
I ordered a new one to deal with the Chicago winter,
nice.
So I could probably take you up on that. But
yeah, I want a picture standing there, you and Carm at Soldier Field. I want to see a pic.
This city, I mean, all NFL cities are more fun when their teams are good, but obviously it's been a minute since the Bears were in the playoffs.
Oh, go downtown and have some fun.
Yeah.
The energy is through the roof here right now. It's going to be a fun January.
Can't imagine. Dave, thank you so much, man. Always good to catch up with you. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. We'll visit soon.
Anytime, fellas. Merry Christmas. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, man.
Later.
There he goes. David Hellman, co-host of the Athletic Football Show. Make sure you're checking him out on their fantastic stuff there on the Athletic. Absolutely fantastic.
They do a great job. Dave is one of the best.
He is. All right, let's do the C-note. Cowboys news of the evening. We've got an update from Tyler Smith. And what did Jerry say? That's next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
It's in the nation. All right, let's do a little C-note. Cowboys news of the evening segment brought to you by Frankel and Frankel. Krusty's Corner coming up on the other side. We'll get into a fix at the top of the hour, but some notes coming out afterwards. Players talking after Cowboys practice. One of note, Tyler Smith. and our buddy John Machota letting us know what Tyler said. Now, the big topic of conversation, he gets the start at left tackle. Is this now going to be permanent? Well, Tyler Smith saying he'll do whatever is best for the team in regards to possibly playing left tackle in the future, but it definitely seems like he'd prefer to stay at left guard, says Machota. Quote, I'm an all-pro guard, bro. That's the simple truth. We'll see what happens. We'll have those conversations. Got to see where everybody's head is at, said one Tyler Smith.
I totally agree with him. I totally agree with him. And I get it. You know, that's they're trying to look at things. Maybe if it's a situation they don't trust Guyton's health. They maybe don't think he's playing well enough when he has played. They don't really trust Nate Thomas. You know, they're going to look at one of these tackles maybe in the draft. I don't know. I mean, I don't know exactly. Maybe they feel like that, oh, we're going to put – I mean, they've invested a lot of time in Tyler Guyton as a left tackle. I don't think Tyler Guyton has been terrible when he's played.
I don't either.
And I think that another year of him, you know, working with Duke, you know, the strength program, he's never going to be a really strong guy, but he's so athletic. I worry about him. He's got that kind of that basketball body, I think.
He does.
Where all of a sudden
he's lean in a sense.
And then so the movement and the space and all that, and he gets
it looks
hurt.
Very awkward.
And he gets hurt that way. I don't know. Maybe if he was heavier and stumpy, and I mean, he just looks like he's got a basketball body.
Yeah.
And,
well, he was a basketball player.
And it just kind of, he's having some basketball injuries, it seems like.
Yeah.
But I just wouldn't give up. He's made as many. He's played as many games at left tackle as he has at right tackle in his career. If they're planning on moving him over, go ahead and give. Now, as long as Dak plays, I think you probably don't want to put Nate Thomas at right tackle and see what's going on with, you know, as long as when Dak's playing, you don't want to maybe change up the lineup that much. But
these next two games. Just to see what Nate can do.
I like TJ Bass a lot. I just worry if that. Is it going to be a thing where you're talking about moving BB? And I don't know if you just want to go into next season with, okay, a new left tackle, potentially a new left guard, potentially a new center, potentially a new right tackle. I don't know if you want to do that. Let me ask you this question too, by the way. I'm going to go on record and say that Tyler Booker has been your best offensive lineman.
Mm.
And I know that Tyler Smith just made the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
And deservedly so. But if I look overall in how Tyler Booker, how he's come from a guy like early in the year, hurt in the Chicago game, missed some games, but you look at the way he's played and how him and BB have really done it.
The second half of the season.
Yeah.
I think he has been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
think you're right. He's made tremendous strides.
I'm super, super happy with how that worked out. And maybe that's to the point of what we need to know now when you're thinking about offensive linemen. If you're a Dallas Cowboy and you have a pick at 9, 10, 11, or 12, then you need to think about drafting offensive linemen. If the pick comes later than that, now maybe somebody will say, wait, Broadus, Travis Frederick was that pick at 31. 30.
Well, and Tyler Smith was, what, 24?
Yeah, and you wonder, though, had they had better success, because if you think about some of the later picks, that maybe for the offensive line, maybe if you take a guy that's more maybe
ready.
That ready-made
and Guyton,
guy.
I mean, that was, a unique class because there was, what, like 7, 8 tackles
incredible.
That went in the first round?
He was
one of the later ones.
He was the back end of
he
that.
He was
thing.
One of the more raw players that really only started a year. I think there's a lot of people that are just anti-drafting another lineman.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we just talked about that with Dave. Like, how many first-round picks can you put towards the offensive line when you have so many other holes throughout your roster? I get that debate.
Yeah.
But I also will always stand on the table. You win at the line of scrimmage. And if you can build the most badass offensive line possible, you'll be okay. You're going to win a lot of football games. The problem is your defense right now has so many holes, I don't know if you can really afford to do that, would be the big question. But, yeah, I mean, Tyler, I agree with the notion that he should play guard. But I do get the sense if their plan is to move Tyler Guyton to right tackle, and maybe it's re-signing Bass to a more affordable deal. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe they like what TJ Bass could do. Maybe it's signing one of these guards in free agency they've got their eye on. I don't know.
Yeah, I it's funny because I've been hearing some whispers about this moving thing, and I think this is really more about Guyton's injury. I mean, I've had some people that are really, really, you know, locked in.
So if he's healthy,
yeah,
it's okay.
He's going to
play left tackle.
I think so. I think that's the case. I mean, the more I talk to folks over there, the more that I kind of get that understanding that this is really more about the injury, and maybe it's. And I was worried initially that it was about that they were worried about Guyton staying healthy.
Well, he hasn't been able to.
But I hasn't.
He had a scare in training camp.
But, man, he's the kid is busting his ass.
I mean, he battles. I mean, he in-game he's battling.
Yeah,
exactly. It doesn't look pretty, which I think is why people write him off.
I just don't think I don't think this is a permanent thing. I can't believe that.
Okay, Jerry talked about this morning with Sean and RJ. Let's go to our replay brought to you by Window Nation here. And we'll do cut 12 here, but have you guys lost confidence in Tyler Guyton at left tackle?
Well, we all know how critical the left tackle is. And but Tyler Guyton has really got a chance to be outstanding for a lot of years to come. And he's got the right makeup, contrary to any questions about him. But the real question is, can we afford to have Tyler out there, Tyler Smith at left tackle? Can we afford that? Larry Allen, we put him out there and made all pro, but we couldn't afford to keep him out there. He was too valuable to us inside. So that'll be the trade-off.
And Tyler Smith knows he's an all pro.
Yeah, as he just said.
Yeah.
Now, I think he can be a darn good left tackle.
There's no question.
That his rookie season.
Yeah, he played that other day like a guard and just went into like, okay, I've got a my technique's different.
He was in survival mode.
Yeah.
He really was.
He was in survival.
But he didn't have a bad game.
No, hell no.
He played pretty well, I thought.
No, man, but he's a really, really good player. Him, Booker.
I love the idea of the power
BB,
in the middle.
Yeah.
I do also just... For BB, I do think he's bested. It's not that he's been bad at center. He's fine. He's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think he's ever going to reach his true potential that I saw that he could be playing center versus if they moved him back to guard. Big picture.
Yeah.
But, hey, he's going to go into year three at center, play in the position. I hope that does improve. Now, when it comes to Guyton playing right tackle, here's cut 13 here from Jerry. Do you think you could move him over there?
You could do that for sure. Yeah. There's we don't have it done, or we have it thought to that extent as long term, but certainly you can do that. Needless to say, the position flex that you have there with Smith it's just really a big plus for us, player of that caliber, and he's easily in the top two or three of the best players we got on the team.
Also, when you look at this draft, Brian, and I know you have, and mm-hmm. we're going to do a lot of work on this, but the best tackles are right tackles, the top two.
Yeah.
You know, it's Fanu from Utah,
and
it's Moenawa from Miami. Those are the two best guys. So if one of them are sitting there at 13, you just need to spend money then filling out your defense. And then with that second pick, maybe you take your edge or you take your corner or your linebacker, whatever it is. But if you were able to feel better about your defense going into the draft because you actually did maybe sign a linebacker, maybe you signed a defensive end, maybe you brought in a safety.
That is key.
Then okay. Let's do this thing. Those two are plug and play right tackles to me.
By the way, I hate the word position flexibility. I used to like, that's kind of a badge of honor. I kind of feel like it killed Tyron Crawford.
Byron Jones, maybe.
Byron Jones got killed. Position flex. They never quite figure out the old position flex, do we?
No.
And we're playing guys and, was Nashawn Wright like a position flex guy? Was he a corner safety? Or that was more the other guy that was Izzy.
Oh, that was his real
McQuamu.
Yes.
McQuamu was more of
They didn't really trust him as a corner, and he did. He did a little bit of both at South Carolina.
See, that's what I'm saying. I hate the word position flex because it's like, we could do, but do they ever seem like they're really, really good at It seems like they're good at one and they're just okay at the other.
Right.
I used to buy it, and I can't buy that anymore.
We can talk more with former All-Pro lineman Mark Schlereth at 440, what he thinks about some of that movement with the offensive line. But let's do some Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Greystone Roofing and Construction. That's greystone-roofing.com. Where are we going, Krusty?
Yeah, let's talk about the Commanders' offense. It looks different than the first time you guys played. Well,
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Do that next.
Got a big 4 p.m. hour coming up. Ian Eagle going to join us at 4:20, and we have our weekly with Mark Schlereth at 4:40. But right now, let's do a little Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Greystone Roofing and Construction. Here it is, Krusty.
Hey, kids! Your old pal Krusty's going to teach you 5 new words.
You're not wrong about that.
From Dallas, Texas, number 55, Brian Waters.
Thank you very much, Lucis. Appreciate you playing that one. Yeah, I mean, we signed up for 17 weeks, so here we go.
We did.
You know what I'm saying?
Did you do what you said you weren't going to do?
What's that?
You were going to just say, screw this Washington tape.
No, I ended up watching it.
You did.
I just wanted to make
sure.
You can't
help yourself.
No, I just wanted to make sure. I just wanted to make sure that it was, guys were lining up where they were supposed to line up, you know, and just kind of. I went and watched the Philadelphia game just because I wanted to see if the thing that's different now about this team that from the first time around, of course, is the quarterback. You know, that situation that's just kind of been bad about them and what's happened with Daniels. Unfortunately for them, I mean, he's such a special player and for them to have to deal with him and him not being available a lot. What's the story going to be about Marcus Mariota? He's not going to play in this game, right?
I don't believe so. Was it a hand injury, I think, is what I saw yesterday? And with the short week, I just don't think. I haven't seen their practice report yet.
Yeah, I've been waiting for that, too. I wanted just to see what Josh Johnson did. And so it's going to be a different-looking team if Josh Johnson's quarterback. But the thing that kind of scares me a little bit is because they got their receivers back, or they've had their receivers back with Terry McLaurin, Deebo Samuel, with Burks, Jalen Lane. I mean, they've got some guys that have some talent out there.
And that was the story in the first meeting.
Yeah,
right?
They didn't have any of those guys.
None of
those guys.
Okay, so Mariota, per Jeremy Fowler, did not practice today.
So he's probably not going to play.
Trending toward veteran Josh Johnson making his first start.
Josh Johnson, this is what you got to know about Josh Johnson. Is that he is going to take the snap, and I believe this just watching him throw the football, I think he's predetermined where he's going to throw the ball. Okay. I don't think there's a lot of reading going on with Josh. And it might be because he got thrown into a game that he wasn't ready. But he's about to get thrown into a game where he's not going to have a lot of prep time either because there's really no practice time here.
Well, the good thing is he won't have to be worried about pressure.
Yeah.
So he'll have some time to kind of make a decision.
The Commanders don't give up a lot of pressure, by the way.
That is surprising. They've been banged up on the line, haven't they?
Not a big sack. Yeah, Jeremy Tunsil's been banged up. But overall, though, they have not been a team that's given up a bunch of sacks. Mm. And I think a lot of it has to do with the quarterbacks that they have. I think when Daniels was playing, get rid of the ball, run.
Yeah,
that's true. Or Marcus Mariota, get rid of the ball, scramble.
Yeah.
You know, these guys don't take a lot of sacks. I still don't think, the last, say, 3-4 weeks that you played, this might be the best offensive line that you've played. But they are dealing with some problems with, like to say, with, we'll see what happened. Was Tunsil, what was his designation on? You had the commander report.
No, no, that was just specifically on Mariota. Okay. I'll look and see with Tunsil.
Yeah, but Tunsil, but they if that's the case, then Brandon Coleman is going to be the starter there.
And Cosme's on IR.
And, yeah.
So he's not going to be playing.
Exactly. So they're in a situation where now they've got some banged up, compromised guys, but, you know, it's still, they've done a pretty good job of holding up when they have to. But this ball with Josh Johnson is going to come out quick. And this is where I would consider, And Eberflus, he's not going to do this. I don't even know why I would even think about this. If you're going to press these guys,
yeah,
well, press them. Get hands on receivers. Diggs, if you're going to put him up there 3-4 yards, don't let him. I mean, and maybe Diggs is still nervous about what happened to him in Chicago with that.
Because he slipped.
He slipped. But, man, if you're going to walk guys up on these receivers, get hands on them.
I got excited. They played man, and they did. The numbers showed it. You told us that, but it wasn't press man.
It wasn't press man.
It was just man.
Yeah, and to me, I'm not letting Terry McLaurin run free because I guarantee you there's going to be a deep shot in this game.
Well, and he'll run by Rebel.
He'll run right by him.
He will.
He could run right by Diggs, though, too.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah. I mean, they're capable of doing that. Samuels, they still try to do the stuff with all the mesh concepts underneath. So if...
Is he still looking like the same guy?
Who, Debo?
Debo.
I tell you what, they throw him the ball and he tries to kind of run over people and stuff like that. He's not always successful. But Cliff has done a pretty good job when it comes to I kind of get excited watching him call plays because I am a big believer in the underneath concepts and the
making people run through the trash. Now you're going to get a free wide receiver open.
Free wide receiver, yeah. I mean, a lot of bunch formation, a lot of tight formation, a lot of scatter, a lot of underneath, a lot of drag, a lot of crossers, vertical game. I kind of like what he does. I will say this, though, maybe with Josh Johnson, they're going to try and run the ball, though. There's no reason for them not to try.
Well, they got a pretty good tandem there that's young with Bill Crosby Merritt and then Chris Rodriguez.
Chris Rodriguez is, I think,
that dude's tough to tackle.
Pretty good. And so, to me, I'm expecting them to line up and really try and test Dallas with their running game. But if you're not going to get pressure on a guy,
why not throw it?
Why not throw it? And especially with these wide receivers, why not throw it? So I think this is going to be one of those games where Dallas is probably going to be. I would say this, if Jane Daniels was playing quarterback in this game, as bad as the Commanders, and I was watching their defense, as bad as their defense has been, I still might pick the Commanders.
Yeah, I probably would too. Tunsil did not practice today, by the way.
Yeah. Well, then expect Brandon Coleman to be the guy. He's a third-round pick from the 24th
draft. That's how bad this has gotten. It's every week we're talking about, well, this team's down 2-3 linemen, and you're still getting zero sacks. You're not getting any pressure.
If you would have told me last week that the game was going to be a zero-pressure or a zero-sack game, yeah.
And they'd lose their left tackle in the game?
Yeah. I would say you're nuts. But I do. I expect the ball to get out quick. I expect a lot of crossing routes. I expect them to run your rookie through the trash. I see what happens with Diggs running through trash. There's been times where he's been, in history, he's been pretty good playing undercutting some routes. Doesn't look like he can run as well as he once did.
I don't know that need's ever going to be
completely
back.
Good.
I mean, I think that they've probably done everything they can when he's been in the building to help, but oof, I don't know. I mean, both knees, that's a toughie.
Yeah. I just feel like, though, that to me, that, like I say, this quarterback, he is going to predetermine where he needs to go with the football, and maybe you can get a read on that. Maybe you can find a way to get a read on that, but it's going to be that part of it's going to be, you're going to have to, I'd like to say, get pressure on this guy and rattle it, but the ball was getting out so fast that really Philadelphia couldn't do anything about it.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll see how that plays. We'll see. I mean, it's who of all when you start to talk about is Terry McLaurin one of those guys that you worry about? When
oh yeah,
you play him
absolutely. Now I will. And the 2-on-4
he
is
used
right.
To like the Diggs used to play pretty well against.
He did. I think the first ever meeting,
yeah,
which might have been Diggs' rookie year. Terry McLaurin caught a deep ball on him for a touchdown, and ever since then Diggs has really had his number. But this isn't the same Diggs.
It ain't the same Diggs. Is that what the text is saying?
Yeah,
the Diggs that yeah. Well.
It's just not the same guy.
It's not the same guy.
We haven't seen him take away anybody.
Yeah.
It's that's the unfortunate part. But, yeah, I think Terry McLaurin, for really most of his career, he's been one of the most underrated receivers in all football. That dude's a really, really good player. Really good.
Would you think that if – do you feel like, though, that Cliff – and I kind of feel like that he's – he could throw the ball like we talked about. We've seen it before. But do you feel like that he's going to try and run the ball?
I think you're right.
I think that's kind of what he wants to do, but he has to find a way to protect his quarterback.
Yeah,
right?
And I think it's going to be...
Well, I say protect his quarterback when there's no pass rush.
Sure. But you also, like, the guy that they're going to have backing up Johnson is Jeff Driskel, also a mobile running type of quarterback.
Right.
I think it is going to be maybe they mix and play action, take a deep shot. But I think you got to be ready for a heavy dose in the running game. I would, especially on a short week, short game plan. I think that's going to be the case.
I agree with you on that.
All right. Thank you very much, Krusty.
Thank you, man.
Krusty's Corner every day at 3:40 here. Let's get into a football fix, shall we? The latest on DK Metcalf, the Pro Bowl rosters, and the aftermath from Monday Night Football.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.